Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this morning's worship service singing together from Psalter 281, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Man is like the tender flower, and his days are like the grass, withered where it lately flourished by the blighting winds that pass. 281, we sing stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 21, and reading through until verse 38, verse 21 to 38, but first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Luke 2, beginning at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of our purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for a blessing on word and sacrament. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the creator of all things, and thou who upholds all things, and in thee we live and move and have our being. And Lord, it's in thy mercy, in thy goodness, and thy long-suffering patience that we may again come into thy house with our families, with our children. And Lord, today, especially in this morning, not only to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word, but also through the sacrament that thou hast instituted of holy baptism. And Lord, as we have gathered together, then we beg and ask thee for thy presence among us. And thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be in the midst. And thou art that faithful God to an unfaithful people. Thou art that merciful God to a sinful people. And we are sinful, and our children, each one of us that is here in this morning. We're all sons of Adam. We're all born totally depraved. We all need thy grace. We need to be renewed. We need to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. And Lord, we beg thee then through word and sacrament that thou would richly bless thy word and that thou would renew sinners. Lord, that thou would turn sinners and they shall be turned. That thou would draw sinners and they will run after thee. Lord, thou art that faithful covenant-keeping Jehovah who has chosen a people in eternity and who has sent his only begotten Son to pay that ransom price that they will be redeemed. And we beg thee then that thou who art that faithful covenant-keeping Jehovah that thou would work among us yet today. Pass us not by. Renew hearts. Lead and guide, convict of sin by thy law, and give that healing by the gospel. Lord, thou knowest how we have all come up into thy house in this morning, whether we have bent our knees with a cry, with a sigh unto thee. Lord, speak. Bless me with that grace that only is in thee through thy Son and through his wounds. Lord, work mightily, work irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. Have mercy upon me. Lord, thou knowest among us those true publicans that cry unto thee, be merciful unto me, a sinner, that are longing and waiting, have a burden of sin, and can find no way to be reconciled unto thee, their Creator, that they have sinned against. And thou hast poured love in their heart, and they long for that reconciliation to be made. But Lord, wilt thou show them, bring them to that place which is painful for our flesh in the midst of death with everything from our side to lead to that only place of life in thee through thy Son. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then remember in thy mercy, give a little instruction in this morning for poor needy sinners. Give a little comfort. As thou hast said in thy word, comfort ye my people, and speak unto her. Speak unto Jerusalem that her warfare is accomplished, that she has received double for all her sins. Oh, may we hear then through thy word of that only way, by thy free and sovereign grace of redemption for wretched sinners. And Lord, apply it. Give ears to hear, minds to understand, but hearts to receive. And we confess. We may grow up under the truth. We may hear thy word, but by nature we have hearts of stone. We may even agree with the doctrine, but we're enemies. Lord, remember that in thy mercy, renew boys and girls, teenagers, adults, older ones, have mercy on us, Lord. And we beg and pray thee for thy name's sake, because there's no reason in us. Thou could pass us by. We're polluted. We're sinful. We're unworthy. But Lord, we beg thee and beseech thee because of thy Son, because of him who sits at thy right hand, because of his merits, because of his righteousness, and because of his blood, that thou would work among us powerfully, irresistibly. Oh, remember those poor and needy beggars who are wondering, what is it? Is it the life of grace? Is it all of self? Is it all common grace? Or is it the grace that the Lord works in his people? Oh, Lord, wilt thou give a little testimony by thy Spirit with their spirit through the word and through sacrament that they belong to thee, that they may become brokenhearted, that they may come in that place in the dust adoring thee. Oh, Lord, we beg thee then visit thy people again and that thou would speak to them. Oh, that they may hear thy voice, that they may have a little comfort for their soul in this life, which is a wilderness, in this battle against sin, Satan, the world, but also against their own flesh. Lord, we beg and pray thee then, help to preach. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit and give ears to hear. Help to keep it simple, that the children may hear and that they may understand. Give attentive hearts to thy word. Give much prayer. May there be Aarons and Urs among the congregation, and that thou would give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach and to ply thy precious word, that thy kingdom may come, Lord. May we beg it in the first place for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal welfare. Lord, remember all those who are mourning, those who have lost children, widows, widowers, those who've lost other relatives, friends. Remember them, Lord. Comfort them. Remember all the sick and afflicted, some very seriously sick. We think of Mr. Harry Van Lagen. We also think of Mr. Carl Van Brugge and Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf. Lord, remember each one of them in thy mercy. But also, remember also a brother to Cindy Honkoop, who had a serious heart attack. Lord, remember them all the sick, all the afflicted, those in the hospital, those who are waiting for test results. Oh, we beg thee, sanctify all these callings of death and of affliction. Sanctify it to our hearts, that we may have no continuing city here below, but that by thy grace we may seek that city to come. Lord, remember all the sick, not only for their bodies, but especially for their never-dying soul. Oh, may these afflictions be a blessing to them and us, that we may hear thy voice speaking, make haste for thy life's sake, for thou shalt not live but die. Lord, thou hast said in thy word, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. We have rebelled against thee, and we are only worthy of eternal death. Lord, have mercy. And thou hast yet sent thy beloved Son into the world to seek and to save hell-worthy sinners. Lord, we beg thee that it may also be today that many may be sought by thee, saved by thee, that sinners would come to true repentance and faith. Lord, thou hast then given also in this morning that two couples may present their children to be baptized. Remember the fathers, the mothers, remember the parents. Care for them, Lord, and give grace to answer those questions. But remember all those who, when they see these children baptized, who have pain, who long to have children, who are missing children, Lord, remember them all. Remember all the orphans. Lord, look down upon in mercy. We beg and pray thee, help all thy servants throughout the entire world. We're sons of men. We're sinners. We have nothing in ourselves. We need everything from thee. Oh, may we be used as instruments in thy hand for the coming of thy kingdom, for the honor and for the glory of thy most holy and worthy name. Lord, bless thy word throughout the entire world among Jew and Gentile. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would gather them as thou hast promised from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And there will be one flock under one shepherd. Lord, may we be included and our children in that blessed flock. May we know that only comfort in life and in death. We beg and pray thee that thou would also remember our government with Bill C-9. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, incline their hearts to turn this bill away that it may be cast out, that thy word may yet have power in this nation, that it may yet be respected, revered, but that it may also be blessed, that thou would work mightily among us in this nation, that many may be born again through the preaching of thy word, and that many may come to know that only name, that precious name, that name that we must be saved, of that precious Savior, of that precious Redeemer of sinners. Lord, we beg and pray thee then have mercy. Thou could pass us by, but work in the hearts of the government. And so, Lord, we lay these needs before thee. Remember also thy word that is proclaimed in Bolivia. Care for Pastor Marco, all thy servants there, the elders, the deacons, the church workers. Remember the need also for a church worker in Bolivia and in Peru. Lord, provide in thy mercy. Incline a heart of a man, of a younger one or older one, and that thou would use them as an instrument also there. And so, Lord, we beg thee, have mercy upon us. Take away all the obstacles and the hindrances in preaching and in listening. Look upon us in mercy through the blood of thy dear Son, and richly bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit and the sacrament of holy baptism. We ask, for Jesus' sake alone, amen. Let us now read the form for the administration of baptism, which you can find, I believe, in the back of your Psalter on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives. till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2 verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and to incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. May I ask the parents to please rise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be thus manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when they come to years of discretion, which you are parents of, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Father of Ameren, what is your answer? Mother of Ameren, your answer. Mother Veldhuizen, Father Veldhuizen. Well, parents, the Lord has heard your answer. He has heard that you have said yes. What a promise that you promise to the utmost of your power to instruct them in the truth of the Word of God. And that reminds us all, parents, of the promise that we have made unto God. That we have promised that we will instruct them to the utmost of our power. That we teach them, read to them, may I say it simply, soak them with the precious Word of God. And we heard in the form that you and your children need three things: regeneration, justification, and sanctification. That's what we need to be able to die in peace and to meet God. And who can do that? Well, in the covenant of grace, God speaks. He speaks in baptism. It's not about the babies. It's not about the parents. It's not about us. God is speaking. He is speaking through his word that what we need, but also that he has the power to do what we need and that we cannot do of ourselves. And in Ezekiel 36, we hear of that covenant promise that he can do, parents, that he can do for you, that he can do for your children, and that we need. What is it? He says, I will sprinkle them with water. I will take away the heart of stone and give a heart of flesh. I will cause them to walk in my statutes. I will renew them. It's all of God. And then the end of that chapter in Ezekiel 36, verse 37, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. So we hear what we need. We hear what he can do, and he is willing to do, and he has the power to do, and he will do in his beloved people. And what must we do with it? We must beseech him. We may become beggars. Beggars that have nothing. Just sinful beggars. That what you may be, parents. Sinful beggars for your own soul and for the soul of your children. Lord, thou alone hast that power to renew me and my children. Lord, have mercy. And we read something so beautiful in that prayer. And may that become your prayer, if it isn't already. And parents, may that become all our prayers. May we become guilty beggars at the throne of grace. We beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon my children. Look upon my soul. Look upon the souls of my children. Maybe in church. Maybe way in the world, far away from being under the truth. We beseech thee graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by the Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ. He has the power. He has the power. And he also will do it to all his beloved people. And we may be beggars that we may be included. And so, when we see the water, congregation, parents, when you see the water, don't look at those children. Don't look at those parents. Look at the water and think of what it says two things. First, you're polluted. You're sinful. You're one mass of sin. But it says something much more precious also, that it points to the blood. The blood of the Lamb of God that has the power to cleanse of some sin? No, all sin. And may by the Holy Spirit it be applied to hearts of poor needy sinners, that they may not see that water, but the faith, grace of faith, they may be given to look to that blood of the Lamb. What a blessing. Let us sing now from Psalter 289, stanzas 2 and 3, while the children are brought in. 289, stanzas 2 and 3, and immediately after the Amen of Baptism, we will sing standing, Psalter 425, stanzas 5. Let hearts rejoice that seek the Lord, His holy name adore. Seek ye Jehovah and His strength, seek Him forevermore. 289, stanzas 2 and 3. Adelina Marie Veldhuizen, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Liliana Katharina Van Maren, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us close in thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Let us now sing together, congregation, from Psalter 22. Psalter 22, we will sing all three stanzas. How long wilt Thou forget me, O Lord, Thou God of grace? How long shall fears beset me, while darkness hides Thy face? Psalter 22, all three stanzas in the collections. I think they're written in the bulletin. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Congregation, this morning we saw water. Water which spoke and points to redemption. Redemption in the blood of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And in Luke 2, verse 36 through 38, we hear of a woman in the temple which spoke of redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this woman, children? You heard this Bible history read to you. Her name is Anna. She's a daughter of Phanuel. And that's a Greek name for Peniel, a Hebrew word, Peniel. And when we hear that word, what do we think of? We think of Jacob. Jacob who was wrestling with God. Jacob who could not let go of God except he blessed him. And then he said, I have seen God face to face. Yet my life was preserved. By God's grace, sinners begin to long for his face to shine upon them. What does that mean? They long for his favor. For his favor. And when he hides his face, they're troubled. As the psalmist said in Psalm 31, verse 16. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. So Anna is a daughter of Phanuel. But she's also of the tribe of Asher. Asher is one of those 10 tribes. Asher is the second son of Leah. And that tribe had such a beautiful beginning. You hear of those promises in the beginning about Asher. But Asher came into exile because they became completely polluted with sin. So Asher, what is one of those 10 tribes, brought into exile? One of those 10 lost tribes. And yet Anna, she's in Jerusalem. What does it tell us? She was brought out of exile. By God's grace, sinners are brought out of exile. What does that mean? Well, we're born from Adam. May I say it this way? The tribe of Adam. We're born totally depraved. And we need to be brought out of exile. We're separated from God. And by God's grace, sinners are redeemed. He redeems captives under the power of Satan, sin, and the world. Who else was Anna? What do we read? She was a prophetess. And some point to this verse, to this part, and they say, look, see? That's why we should have female office bearers. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 14. No, there is many prophetesses in the Old Testament, but we do not read of one female high priest. And there's prophetesses in the New Testament, Anna, for example, the 7 daughters of Philip, but we do not read of one female apostle. Why? Why is there only male elders, deacons, and ministers today? Because it's biblical. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 and 35. Let your woman keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. As also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shame for a woman to speak in the church. So this speaks of an official office in the church. Yes, there's much a woman can do. Anna is a prophetess. What does that mean? She was given the gift to understand something about the beautiful word of God, and she simply shared it with others. She was a mother, what we would call in Israel. She instructed the younger children, the younger mothers. And may that be a blessing also in this church, that older ones, older women would speak and teach younger children. What a blessing. By God's grace, may that be so. But what else do we know about Anna? She was a widow. She was in loneliness, living in a life of affliction, of loneliness. And we need to care for the widows. We need to visit them. And God has a special care for widows. He said in his word, Jeremiah 49, verse 11, let the widows trust in me. Isn't that beautiful? And oh, by God's grace to know, by God's grace that my Maker is my husband. That's the greatest blessing, to have God's grace. Anna, who is she? She lived a moral life. We read that she lived 7 years from her virginity with her husband. How old was she? We read she was of her great age. A great age. Her exact age, we do not exactly know. There's different interpretations of what you read, and you can see it in your Bible, verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years. So some interpret it that she has now been a widow for 48 years, or others interpret it, she has now reached the age of 84 years. So she could be 84 years, or possibly maybe 105, but that's not so important, her exact age, because Anna knew one day she needed to die. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die, and Anna could have no rest until she found that place and rest. Where? In that covenant God. Where? How? Through his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what else do we know about Anna? Her name. Her name. What does her name mean? It means grace. Like Liliana. It's the same name. It means grace. What a beautiful name. But Anna didn't only have the name that meant grace. She had the grace of God in her heart. And that's what we want to consider this morning. Do you? Do I have God's grace in our heart? We're born graceless. And to die, to meet God in peace, we need God's grace. That free and sovereign grace, not only to hear about it, not only to have a nice name, but to have grace of God in our hearts. And there's poor beggars. They long to know, do I? Do I belong to God? Do I, such a sinful wretch, do I belong to God? Do I have God's grace? And you can tell them, but I can see it in your life. You see them reading, sighing, crying, begging. You see it, but it doesn't help. Why? Because they want God to confirm it in their hearts. Disappoint, I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Lord, decide the doubtful case. Thou who art thy people's son, shine upon thy work of grace, if it be indeed begun. May the Lord, as we meditate on a portion of his precious word, teach you your great need for grace, but also may he also give a little token, a little comfort, if they haven't already seen it and felt it in the sacrament of holy baptism. And so this morning, with the Lord's help, we would like to meditate on God's word from Luke 2, verse 37 and 38. Luke 2, verse 37 and 38. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And so, with the Lord's help, we will consider the following theme and 3 points. The theme, the evidence of God's grace in Anna. The evidence of God's grace in Anna. And how do we see that? What do we see in these verses? And lay your heart beside her life, my friend. Examine. Do you know something also of this? So first, Anna's devotion to God. She has a heart, a renewed heart, a heart that is devoted to God, verse 37. Second, Anna's thanksgiving unto the Lord, verse 38, the first phrase. And then the third thought, Anna's devotion, Anna's testimony of the Redeemer. Anna's testimony of the Redeemer, and we see that in the last part of verse 38. So the evidence of God's grace in Anna. Anna's devotion to God, Anna's thanksgiving unto the Lord, and Anna's testimony of the Redeemer. And so with the Lord's help, our first thought, Anna's devotion to God. What does devotion mean? Well, we have many married couples here. And in marriage, we're devoted to our dear husband. We're devoted to our dear wife. There's a dedication. There's affection. There's an attitude of being devoted to the other person to seek what's best for them for this life and also for the life to come. But here we read our thought is a devotion to God. What does that mean? May I ask you, are you devoted to God? Or are you still devoted all to self? Devoted to God means to worship Him. Not just with the mind, with the mouth, but with the heart. Have to have affections for Him, to have reverence for Him, to desire to obey Him, to follow His will. Desiring to get rid of all that's not according to His will, and to know His will, and to do His will. There comes a new king on the throne in the heart. It's not self anymore. There comes a new king and he rules in them. There comes a devotion. Is man born like this? Absolutely not. We're born totally depraved, enemies of God, under his wrath, comfortably lost. No seeking God. No desire to serve him or his dear son. Comfortable living under the wrath of God, knowing the doctrines, knowing the truth. That's us by nature. No desire for his face to shine upon us. To have a little token of his favor. To have a little token of the mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lost, dead. That's you and me by nature. What do such sinners need? Whether they're in the church or in the world. What do they need? They need God's grace. God's renewing grace. Renewing grace. Because without his renewing grace, we are guilty, lost sinners under his wrath on that broad way that leadeth to eternity. Without him, we serve everything but God and his son. Anna was a recipient of God's grace. How do we know she was? How may you know also that you are a recipient of God's grace? Well, let's consider what the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write about Anna. Anna was a recipient of God's grace. We see this by her devotion to God. Let's read verse 37 again. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Which departed not from the temple. Depart means to have a distance. It means to shun. It means to be separated. No, she could not be separated. She could not miss the worship services. She had to be there. She didn't want a distance with God. She wanted closeness. Some understand this, that she was living in one of those chambers in one of those rooms in the outer court. That could be, but it could also be a figure of speech that Anna never, ever wanted to miss a worship service. She couldn't. She had to be there where God worked, where his presence was, where he pours out those blessings for poor, wretched sinners. She had to be there. That brings a question. All those who faithfully attend every single worship service, they're all recipients of grace? Now we have to be careful. The Lord knows the heart. He knows the heart because we think of in the temple of that parable that the Lord Jesus gave of those two men, of a Pharisee and of a publican. God sees the heart. He sees that heart of Anna. He sees that devotion that he placed in her heart for him. And he sees your heart. He sees my heart. He sees, is there devotion? Is there devotion for him? Reverence, awe, hunger, thirst, longing to worship him and to serve him. Pharisees. Yes, they also come among us. What is a Pharisee? I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not like other men. I'm a little better. But a publican. A publican. Is there publicans here this morning? Publicans. Guilty sinners. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May I see something through the water. May I see something through that water of that blood that could cleanse such a wicked, wretched sinner as me? Did you come longing, praying, begging, Lord, teach me, lead me, guide me, show me, seal it to my heart? Disappoint. I long to know, do I love the Lord? Yes or no? Is that your heart? Anna had a heart that was devoted to God. Her heart is like David. David, as we read in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I have a desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why, David? Why, publican? To behold the beauty. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. They wanted to be there to see the sacrifices because there was hope. There was the presence of God. There was that way back to God for wretched sinners just to look at those sacrifices, just to hear the word of God in church, to hear of him who was given as a sacrifice for wretched sinners that have absolutely nothing. Did you come this morning longing to hear something from his voice, through his word? That his face would shine upon you, a little token of favor for your soul? Did you come with a longing to see by that water of baptism, of the blood and of redemption? I need to be redeemed and I have nothing. I need that blood, that only blood, to be reconciled with God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Nothing could keep Anna from the place where the Lord was willing to work and bless. God's people are never thankful for any circumstances that they are kept from the house of God. Never. I only read in the word of God of pain. Of pain of being kept from the house of God. They're never happy. Never happy that circumstances happen in their life that they're kept from the word of God. Grace in the heart from God. There's a desire for God. And for him and for his blessing, and to experience a little something of the sweet communion. A little token, a little favor, a little smile from heaven. Anna had God's grace in her heart. Her heart was devoted to God. How do we see this? How do we see this further in this text? Verse 37. But served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Fasting and prayers. Open your Bible to Daniel 9. Fasting and prayers often go together. They go together in the life of God's children. And we read in Daniel 9, verse 3. Daniel 9, verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Fasting is denying yourself. It's denying yourself with urgency to know the Lord's will, to focus your whole body and your mind and your soul on one thing. And in prayer, pouring out your heart unto him as a beggar with nothing. Seeking communion with him, confessing your sin, laying all the needs of your body and your soul before him, and begging him for the blessings of his kingdom, praying for family, praying for neighbors, pouring it all out before him. But what else is the focus of fasting and prayer? That God would fulfill his promise. As David said, Lord, do as thou hast said. Anna was fasting and praying that the Lord would also fulfill his promise. What promise? That the Messiah would come. Daniel, he prayed and fasted. He also, may I say it reverently, reminded the Lord of his promise that the people in captivity would be brought back. Anna prayed and fasted, not only for her soul, but also especially, Lord, fulfill the promise that Messiah, when will he come? Lord, come, come quickly. And this is also in the hearts, by God's grace, devoted to the Lord and longing for him to come. No, not to be born in this earth, but to come in your heart, that he would visit you, that he would have mercy upon you, that you would have it personally applied to your own heart and to your own soul. No, they're not proud of their devoted life. Not at all. They are devoted, but they see it's all filled with all sin. All sin. And they need one person. That's what it comes to. It comes to one place. Nothing in self, but I need one person. I need a redeemer. I need a savior. Do you fast and pray? Or is that something that we say, that's the Old Testament? It's not. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? In Matthew 6, verse 16, moreover, when ye fast. He didn't say, if you fast. So we need to think about that. Think about that. Church of God, do you pray? And do you fast? Do you? Do I? Anna had a devoted heart to God. It was seen by her life being in the place where the presence of God was, in his temple, where she prayed and fasted. Do you have a devoted life? Nothing to be proud. Do you have a little place where you may go? A closet, a place where you long to be separated from everyone else, to be, to pray, to seek communion with God, to confess your sin, to be a beggar. Lord, fulfill thy promises. Work. Work in the congregation. Work in my heart. Work in the heart of my children. Do you know of a place where you long to be at times, to pour out your heart? Do you long and beg the Lord for his grace? And we need this. We need his grace. Do you have a devoted heart? Paul preached to the Thessalonians. He preached to the Thessalonians the precious gospel. Open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 1. He preached the gospel to those people. And how do we know if we have a devoted heart? What do we see in the life? What do we see in their lives? Well, in verse 5, read, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. How do we know? Well, we read verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Have you become, by God's grace, devoted, a follower? And is there joy? But you say, wait a moment. In the parable of the sower, we read of those who heard the word and immediately received it with joy. So how do I know if I do have true joy? If it's true, have you had something of a little joy? Not in self, but in him and in his son, by the power of the gospel, a little joy? How do we know if it's that true joy of the true saving grace, not just temporary grace? No, not just historical faith, but true saving grace. The real, true work of the Holy Spirit and that true joy. How do we know? Verse 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There you see it. Their will is renewed. There you see it. They turn from serving idols and they turn to serve God. God, is that your life? Are you turning? Have you turned? And are you turning and continually turning? Are you repenting, fleeing from all sin? And is your life devoted to God? It becomes a battle. It becomes a battle against sin, Satan, the world, and your own flesh. Your own flesh. My friend, lay your heart beside Anna's. Do you know something of this grace of being devoted? Know nothing to be proud of, but that God worked in you, that you have a longing to serve him. Anna had a devoted life, but she also had a longing. She was waiting for him, that precious Messiah. And that's where the Lord works and leads. Not only that they have a devoted life, but they also have a need for a Savior. To see him. To see him by the through the Word. To see him, that Savior. Or to see him again. They've seen him in the past. To hear his voice again. That he would speak and say, I am thy salvation. That all the clouds would disappear. All the doubts. And then they can sing like they never sang before. To hear the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking to my own soul. Because I can't trust anything of self. Even the gifts of grace. They're not my foundation. My foundation only is in him. And that only Savior. What happens when those recipients of grace see him? What happens? What will be the result? That leads us to our second thought. Anna's thanksgiving unto the Lord. Let us read verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. What instant? What is Luke writing about? At what moment? What moment? You see Anna in the temple. Who was brought into the temple earlier, children? The Lord Jesus Christ, that child. And at what instant? At that instant when Simeon, that man, held that precious little baby in his arms and was singing that song of praise to the Lord, as we read in verse 28 through 32, but also in 34 through 35. Anna came into the temple and she heard Simeon speak, and she saw that child, and she believed what she heard, that this was the child, that this was the Messiah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the joy that filled the soul of Anna? Finally, there he is. There's the Savior. There's the Savior of sinners. That's him. Her heart must have been filled with such joy. Children of God, do you remember the first time you saw a little something? A little something of the hope in that only Savior, in that only Mediator, of that only Redeemer, through the Word or through the sacraments, applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that you saw what happened to Anna. What happened to your heart? It became broken. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship flowed out. No, they didn't have to speak. Now you need to praise him. It comes out automatically because of the grace received by seeing that precious Savior, a little something or a hope in him. It breaks the heart. Humble, broken-hearted, true thanksgiving unto God. We heard of the angels singing, worshiping the Lord. But now we see two people together in the temple, two sinners, Simeon and Anna. You could picture them together singing, worshiping, thanking. She gave thanks unto the Lord. Did you hear it? Unto the Lord. She didn't give any thanks to herself. It wasn't because I was here. It wasn't because I'm a good devoted person. Nothing. No credit to any sinner or to anything of self. All the credit, all the thanks unto God. Why? Why? Have you ever seen the Savior? Have you? Through the Word? Have you? Then it will bring to thanksgiving unto whom? As Paul, as Anna, of that unspeakable gift, because Jesus Christ is that unspeakable gift of the Father for absolute wretches, wretches. Jonah, children, remember him? He was in the belly of the whale, deep down in the water. And they have a hope in that Savior, of the hope in God. Listen, before he was spit out on dry land, of a hope trusting in him. What did he say? Jonah 2 verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And remember that one leopard? He came back. And with a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he glorified him, and he was thankful. Have you ever been brokenhearted as a guilty sinner, longing for reconciliation with an almighty God that you have sinned against, and seen something of that unspeakable gift, and that your heart was broken? Grace brings a dead sinner to life. Grace brings a sinner from worshiping everything else to bringing to worship God. But also, grace brings an end of hope in everything, in self, of absolute everything. Looking, longing, waiting, hoping only in Him and that only Savior. Broken-hearted thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift of His Son. Do you know something of a devoted life? Not being proud of it because it's all polluted in sin. But you long to be in God's house. You long to be there. You long to open the Bible. You long to be in prayer. And sometimes, yes, it's so cold and so hard. It's all, where is it? Other times, it just flows out of your heart. Lord, visit me. Beggar, needing mercy, needing grace. And have you been led a little further to see a little something of that precious Savior? And have you seen Him? And has your heart been broken? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. This is the life of grace. But what else did Anna do? Our last thought. Anna's testimony of the Redeemer. Did she quietly go home? Did she just quietly go home? She saw Him. She was filled with thanksgiving. No, she didn't. She couldn't. She couldn't just go home. Why? Because her heart was so full with Him, of who He is. She had to speak. Her tongue became the pen of the ready writer, as we read in Psalm 45. She had to speak because of that grace in her heart. No, she didn't speak of self. She spoke of Him. She spoke of Him, of that Redeemer. She spoke of that precious Savior, of Him. Looking, what do we read in verse 38? And she spake of Him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna is like Andrew. Andrew? Open your Bible to John chapter 1. Andrew found the Messiah. He found the Messiah. And we read in John 1 verse 41. He found the Messiah, and then we read, He first findeth His own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that precious? You can see almost Andrew taking Peter, taking his brother, and say, Listen, brother, I found Him. I found the Messiah. I found that Savior of sinners. And you can seem to come. I want to bring you to Him. Beautiful. That should be our heart. That should be our life, Church of God. That we see something of Him and that we want to proclaim it to others. And to also to bring them that they would come to know that same Savior, because He's worthy to be worshipped by all. And this is the task of an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Yes, he needs to preach the law, and he needs to preach the gospel. He, so to speak, needs to take hands of sinners and say, Come, I found Him. He's here in the Word of God. To take them, those poor sinners, and to lead them to that only Savior. Yes, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, absolutely, and yet it's an illustration. You see Andrew taking his brother. You see Anna speaking. She wanted to speak to everyone. To all those who looked for the same thing that she looked. You could see her going to her house. You could see her going to her friends. I found Him. He's the Messiah. There's one that's come. There's redemption in Him. Redemption. Why did God give His Son? Just to be born in a manger, to live a perfect life? What a wonder. Amazing that God humbled Himself so low to come so low upon this earth. But not just to live, not just to do miracles, not just to teach, but to give redemption. Redemption. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And recipients of grace need him for all of this. They need a complete Savior. They need him every day. They need him for everything, because without him, they are absolutely lost. What was the first line of Zechariah's song? Luke 1 verse 68. Luke 1 verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He saw it in and through that one, that precious Savior. That Savior and the forerunner of his dear Son, that redemption is coming. John was going to proclaim of redemption that's in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. My friend, you need to be redeemed. Everyone. No exceptions. We all need to be redeemed. From what? From the power of Satan. From the power of sin. From the world. From your own flesh. But what else? You need to be redeemed from under the holy and infinite just wrath of God that is over your head if you are not in a union by faith in Jesus Christ. You need to be redeemed. And these recipients of grace, they learn they need to be redeemed from all of this. All of this. But they also learn that they're absolutely powerless to redeem themselves. They need one to pay the price, one to redeem them, completely redeem them. Who is that one? Who has the price? Who paid the price? Who is that one? That mighty Savior of sinners, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. They learn that he is the only one that came to pay that payment that satisfies the justice of God. Can you lay your heart beside this? You say, I don't have the same assurance as my grandmother. I don't have the same assurance of what I read in all those beautiful stories in those books of God's people. But my friend, the marks of grace is to lay your heart beside it. Why? That you may be comforted by the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Do not despise the day of small things. Maybe you don't have that full assurance. Who does? What a wonder if you do. But is there a beginning? And if you deny it, you will only come in more darkness. And you say, but it's so much sin. Confess it. And look for that Redeemer to redeem you and to wash you completely from all your sins of everything. They come to a place. They need a ransom price. They need to be redeemed. They need to be redeemed. They want to be brought back to God. They want to be acceptable. They want his face to shine upon them. They want his favor. And there's such a distance. There's such a load of sin in between. They need it paid, washed, forgiven. They become bankrupt in self. Nothing no more. No hope in their devotion. No hope in anything. Not in their faith. Not in their love. Not in their zeal. It all comes. It's true. They experience it. But it's not their foundation. Why? To lead them to one place. To be redeemed by one person. So that he receives all the honor. All the glory. Are you sinking? Are you a sinking sinner this morning? Sinking in sin, like the poet in Psalm 69, verse 2, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come in deep waters where the floods overflow me. Every try, you just sink deeper and deeper. Are you guilty? Sinking? Devoted? Yes, there's love for the Lord, but it's filled with sin. And are you looking, longing? Is there a price? I have nothing to pay. I need a ransom price. Is there? Is there a price that satisfies the complete, infinite justice of God, that I can be washed, that I can be forgiven, that he can look upon me and smile? Yes, Job wrote about it. Listen, Job 33, verse 24. Deliver him from going down to the pit. Is that how you feel? You're going to go down to the pit. And you have to say, amen, Lord. That's all I deserve. Just to be cast into the pit. I'm just sin. The Lord could pass me by. I can't say anything. That would be righteous and just. Do you feel in your soul worthy to be cast into the pit? I have found a ransom. A ransom. What ransom? What is the ransom? Peter wrote about it. He wrote about it in his epistle. That ransom price, not silver, not gold. No, what's the ransom price? That precious blood of Jesus Christ. We had the sacrament, Holy Supper, or Holy Baptism. That water pointed to the blood. In the blood, there's redemption through the Redeemer, through his wounds, through his blood. And Anna could speak of redemption in him. And I may proclaim to you, congregation, there's redemption in him. You need to be redeemed. And it is in him. Everything is in him. God provides everything. What does that tell us? That you can become a beggar. Just a beggar. And that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to become lost. We don't want to become guilty. We don't want to become absolutely just in ourselves, ungodly. But he came. He came for absolute unworthy ones. Ones that become so guilty, so lost, so ungodly. And then to hear that he would speak for example. From Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Why fear not? For I have redeemed thee. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. What a word. Why? How can that holy, infinite God ever say this to wretched sinners? How can it ever be sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit to such ungodly ones? Because of him. Because of that Redeemer. Because of his blood. Church of God, take courage. He's coming. And the day of your full redemption is coming. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what is that growing? You get better and better? No, I decrease. We lose everything. That's painful. But that's a blessing, because then he becomes everything. And that's what he wants to be. He wants to be absolutely everything. And that we're like Anna, devoted to him and giving thanks unto him and to him alone, because he is worthy of all the honor, of all the glory, for now and eternity. Amen. Let us close in thanksgiving. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg and pray thee, bless thy word irresistibly, powerfully. Oh, may we see it, we must be redeemed, and show us that we have nothing to redeem ourselves, but lead poor, needy, wretched, guilty sinners unto him, unto that cross, in whom there is redemption for the most vilest of sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou be the after preacher by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we thank thee for thy precious word and for this time in thy house and for thy help. Lord, we beg thee, keep us in this day. Bring us again, if it is in thy will tonight, in thy house to again hear thy word. We ask it. Help the elders in catechism teaching. Bless it, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 362, and we will sing all three stanzas. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea. Psalter 362, all three stanzas. Thank you. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.